Now we come to John 6 once again, and we are now at the penultimate lesson from John 6. And the focus is still on the bread of life, and we are going to look at how today the people who followed the Lord Jesus Christ initially finally decided they're going to quit, perhaps completely. Well, we're going to study this, and we are going to look at this as a reality. The people we want to evangelize, who we want to share the gospel with, may or may not respond as we hope or even as we pray. That's a reality that we all have to learn how to cope with. It's not an easy thing to understand, especially if the person we want to share the gospel with is dear to our hearts. And yet, the reality is that not everybody will respond positively or favorably. And so we're going to take a look at how people can reject the gospel, and yet, when we share the gospel, we do not have to be fazed. We don't have to be overly upset with this reality. You know, when we look at how people will reject, of course, we feel sad. That's understandable. But on the other hand, our faith in the Lord, our grief must not be so great that we are overcome by this. Is something that we want to appreciate. Now, as we look at John 6, and you know, it's good to review the same chapter again and again until it all stands out to us. Well, it was the first group. I think we look at the idea of the first group. In John 6, 1, they were called simply the multitude. John is actually a very skillful writer when it comes down to it. So he talked about the multitude, and so sometimes he would simply call them the people. Well, it's John 6 and verse 22, and he would just simply describe them as the people, right? The people who were standing, meaning to say, it's like a pronoun, except that it's not they, or it's just simply the people. It's just substituting another noun for the word multitude, right? Then, of course, we see in verse 24, again here, the people. Now that becomes very obvious. But essentially, there, that's your first group. That's your multitude group. Then, within the multitude, there are people who are called the Jews, in 6 verse 41. For example. So the Jews then complain about him. Well, obviously, they are distinguished from the people or the multitude. That's why John called them the Jews. Now, the Jews is a term that is associated with the ruling hierarchy. As something that we want to think about. So these are the people who were there to observe. And today, the word they call, it's now a sort of a new buzzword. They were we call them influencers today. Well, that's what the Jews were doing. They were there among the people to influence people, essentially. And whether we call them influencers or not, they are there and they can influence for the better or for the worse. But the Jews were there in this capacity, not just as observers, but as complainers and as grumblers. And if they were from the hierarchy, people would tend to listen to what they have got to say a little bit more, simply because they were amongst the rulers. Well, then we have a sort of a third group, right? Now, you see this in verse 60, for example. Right? As we take a look at verse 60, we come across a group of people and we read that many of his disciples, now that is your word. Right? So, in a very general sense of word, the multitude could be just simply the people who follow it. Were the Jews' disciples? Not likely. But between these two groups, there were people who thought of themselves as disciples. They're not amongst the 12, but they are called disciples anyway. Verse 60. And we read, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Of course, the subject is the Lord Jesus Christ saying that he's giving of his flesh and of his blood to eat and to drink. And they didn't really understand what the Lord Jesus was trying to say figuratively. But they simply said, this is a hard saying. This is a hard word, in other words. How can anybody understand it? But they were disciples. Not disciples of the 12, but disciples in the sense of they are a little bit more than a multitude, a little bit less than the Jews. And so they as an in-between group, and they call them the disciples. And sometimes there are people who are like that. It's neither here, not a firm commitment, neither too far away. And yet, they are not in a general multitude as well. So this is your third group. And of course, ultimately, there is a fourth group. In John 6:67, for example, they are simply called the 12. Right? So verse 66, many of his disciples went back, walked with him no more. Then the Lord Jesus said to the 12. So we see four distinct groups. The multitude of the people, the Jews, the disciples, and the 12. So now you cannot even call them disciples versus disciples. You have to distinguish between the disciples and the 12. So once we see a mention of the 12, then we begin to realize that there are people who are disciples and there are people who are disciples. And you actually need to distinguish between the both of them. Well, let's take a look at a quick analysis of the first group. Right? So these would be the multitude group. So we've identified four groups. It's good for us to just look at a quick survey of the multitude as such. And this is going to help us in our evangelism. We will always see these four groups, just about, all the time. There will always be the multitude generally interested, generally following, but the word is generally. Then there are those who have already pretty fixed in their own ideas. Maybe they come from other churches, maybe they've had a brush with Christianity, but they got pretty fixed ideas. Maybe they're traditionalists. But they are there. They don't have to belong to a hierarchy of any kind. It's just that they are different from your general multitude who may not have a whole lot of knowledge. Right? So let's analyze the multitude first. Okay? Why did they come? They follow the Lord. Well, they came because they have a need for the Lord. They may be sick. They may bring relatives who are sick, or they may bring friends who are demon-possessed. One way or the other, they came to the Lord because they know and they recognize the Lord can help them. He has power to help them. He is kind, he is compassionate, he is merciful, he is gracious. So they come to him, but because of the needs in their heart. That's it. Now, they're not going to be actually fully committed one way or another. Are they committed to learning? Not really. Have they found faith or do they really want to find faith? Not really. Are they going to be actually disciples? well, they are not committed in any particular sense. So if they were to just drop out, depart, we can understand that because they've never made a commitment anyway. They're like passers-by in a crowd. You know, they will just drop by, they will take a look, they will see what they want to see, and then they will go off. I think that is what it is. Today, they're called window shoppers. It is called window shopping. Well, what do you have? Well, what are you selling? Well, how does it sound? How does it work? And then you try to explain to them the cost of discipleship, and they will say, wow, very expensive, very costly. And they will just walk away. Are there people who are like that? Unfortunately, they're going to be there. The second group of people, again here, the first identification is that they are Jews. But apart from the fact that they are Jews, there are certain characteristics which we ought to note. And these are complainers. They're there to complain. They're there to grumble. They're not really true believers. They're just watching to see if there's anything to complain about. And if they have something to complain about, they will tell you why they don't believe and make a convincing case out of why they don't believe. But essentially, they were never true believers. They're there to listen, but they are not actually committed. They're there to question if they can. They're there perhaps for all the wrong reasons. They're going there with, you know, to criticize if they can. They just tolerate you, as it were. Are there groups like that? Yes. And if they were to depart, would they be surprising? Would that be surprising? And the answer would be not really. They never express the fact that they are going to follow the Lord Jesus anyway. Right? There are too many questions unanswered for them. They're just not impressed beyond a certain level, and they're just not going to make a commitment. Now, we all understand that. So if people come, if people drop out, we sort of understand that. Right? Not everyone will believe. Not everyone will follow. Not everyone will be a disciple. That happens all the time. Then and now. Now let's look at the third group called the disciples. Right? Now this is a general word. A person can be a disciple of John and still be a disciple. In fact, the people who follow the Jews are also called disciples. In fact, they are called disciples. They are disciples of the Jews, but not disciples of John. They're certainly not disciples of the Lord Jesus. So the word disciple, it's not a magic word. It's not even a special word, depending upon the context of a word in usage. Right? But in John 6:60, the word disciple was used. Why was that used? A disciple essentially is simply a person who learns or who wants to learn. And in order to learn, since the Lord has to walk around from one village to another, one city to another, some of them followed. So because they followed, they are called disciples, at least on the general definition of the idea. Now, the word disciple in itself does not actually tell you whether genuine faith was actually there. Neither does it tell you that there's great understanding on their part. It's just the word, a disciple, that's it. Right? Now, we take a look at this idea. They followed the Lord Jesus. They took boats, they shipped, they went to the other side of it. It's not a very long journey, nor is it a very costly journey. And so they went along. But does it mean that they are true believers? Not necessarily. Right? Now, but we take a look a little bit more carefully at this group called the disciples. What were they like? John 6:60. Right? The word saying is the logos word. Simply means this is a hard word. That's it. Right? A hard word. Sclerosis, as it were. Right? It's a hardened word. It's hardened. Who can understand it? The idea here is this is a very hard, difficult truth. How do you give your flesh to eat? How do you give your blood to drink? What do you mean belief in you equals having eternal life? To them, it's a very hard saying. Right? Because this is not something they easily understood, number one. Two, this is not what they have been taught before. This is almost something very new to them. And so, hard truth. Who can understand it? What does that mean? It simply means, literally, the word here, who can understand it, is actually the word to hear. Who can hear this truth, in other words? Meaning, who can accept this truth? How can you give your body to eat? How can you give your blood to drink? What does that mean? And basically, they just cannot actually believe it, accept it. This is where they drop subtle hints that they are not prepared to go further. They are not even prepared to ask the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you mean by that? Can you elaborate? Can you explain? Nope, they are just going to make up their mind already. Now, John 6, this is interesting to us to understand over here. Okay, John 6, 61. Right, now take a look at John 6, 61. We see this. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, did he know? Yes. Did he graciously receive them, see them as potential disciples? Yes. Right? Now that is how gracious, how kind the Lord Jesus Christ is when he considered them as disciples. They're not the 12, just disciples, those who follow him. Right? To John 6, 61, we read, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Now, this is something that the 12 actually knew how the Lord Jesus Christ would talk to them. Right? And, for example, if they lack faith, he will tell them point blank, where is your faith? How is it you have no faith? The Lord Jesus Christ is pretty blunt, as it were. Right? He would rather face the truth as it is, rather than to just sugarcoat it and say it's all right when it's not. And so he said, does this offend you? Now, there are many truths that the Lord Jesus Christ would teach. This is only one out of many. And this one is already offensive. They don't like to hear what they don't like to hear. You know how it is with us? If we don't like to hear, we reject it. We are angry, we are upset. And so the Lord Jesus asked them, does this offend you? And then he went on further. Now, this is something that you want to know. Supposing I tell you, if you were to see the Son of Man ascend where he was before, would that be even more upsetting? So if I were to tell you, one of these days, you're going to see the Son of Man ascending back to heaven, would you be even more upset? Well, obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ knew they would. You see, from the commands, he understood what their attitude was, what their heart was, what their mindset was, sort of he knew. Right? Well, this is something that we understand. And so they were simply offended. Why? Because they had pretty fixed ideas as to who Jesus was, what he can say, what he can do, and that's it. anything outside of their own understanding as to who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what he can say, what he can teach, anything outside their purview, they simply offensive and they reject, which is kind of hard things. There are many, many things that were very hard. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to explain to them further. Okay, so he explained to them what it means. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So obviously he's already saying, if I give of my flesh physical to eat, it is nothing. Obviously it is not. So what is he trying to say? It is the Spirit who gives life. So the flesh represents a lot of things, as it were. Unfortunately, they just didn't understand that properly. What is this idea of the flesh anyway, as you take a look? See, they were following physically of the flesh. They were following because of the bread and the fish they ate, physical of the flesh. That's it. If they want to make the Lord Jesus Christ the king, it would be of the flesh as well. And so the Lord says to them, the flesh profits nothing. Don't focus on the physical, material things. Now let me tell you what you should focus on. You should focus on the words that I say, because they are spirit and they are life. But they couldn't go beyond the physical. They could not go beyond the literal. They could not go beyond the material. So when it came down to listening to the words of the Lord Jesus, the depth of it all, the spirit of what he said, it was just beyond them. And once it was beyond them, they just simply took the easiest option, they reject. It is the loss of the people, not the Lord Jesus. Well, that was what we're looking at right here, right? And so in verse 64, we read, but there are some of you who do not believe. And we read, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Well, that is an obvious reality. So was the Lord Jesus Christ phased when this happened? John 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples, we would put that in inverted commas, right? Many of his disciples went back to what they believed, went back to their old life, went back to their old ways, and they walked with him no more. Well, that's what we're looking at. Right. So as we look at John 6:66, we have to ask ourselves how that works. Right? So externally, they are better than the multitude. They are not the Jews. They are called disciples. Right? They are following up to a point. But when it comes to spiritual things, deep things, the words of the Lord Jesus, they could not find it in their hearts to believe. All right? So they are really not looking at spiritual things a whole lot. They just want to hear what they want to hear. Anything a little harder, they are just absolutely not interested. And so they walk no more with the Lord. Well, we have to ask ourselves why the Lord Jesus Christ was not so perturbed by this at all. So he goes back to an old truth. Look at 65. Therefore, I have said to you. Right? So the Lord Jesus Christ held fast to what he had said earlier. That no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Now, this is a truth that he had already taught. John 6:37, first part. All that a Father gives will come to me. John 6:44, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now this is now repeated in John 6:65. Right? So John 6:37, John 6:44, this was already stated. So why should we be upset? Of course, we are not like the Lord Jesus. We cannot see into the heart or mind of anybody. We can't. But we can base it, we can base our hope upon the Lord and upon His word. If the Father will draw the person will believe in the Lord, will trust in the Lord, will carry on with the Lord no matter what. But if the person is not drawn by the Father, if the person were to drop out, don't hold your breath. Because it's going to happen. That's why we read, the Lord Jesus Christ knew who would believe and those who would not believe. This is something that we need to fall back on. Whenever we do evangelism, sometimes our biggest worry or biggest upset in the heart is when people don't really believe. Now, if they don't make any attempts, or if we fail in our efforts, then it's a different story. But let us say we've done everything we can. We've explained the gospel. We have befriended them. We have been clean, clear, and honest above board. We have presented the gospel in every good way possible. And people, like a multitude, they don't accept. Don't worry about it. Or if they appear to be interested, and then suddenly they're not, they just drop out. Again here, go back to this wonderful truth, John 6:37, 44, 65, three times it is mentioned. The Father will draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Father draws, that person will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the person will carry on. Well, that is something that we wanted to take a look at. Right? So let's not be overly worried after we've done our part, why people don't really believe. Well, there is an invisible factor. The invisible factor lies in the spiritual realm. We don't know why people will finally reject the Lord Jesus Christ. On the one hand, the Father has not drawn him. On the other hand, that person in the heart has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ anyway. Could that happen? Unfortunately, yes. While we may sorrow, and it is good to be able to feel sad and sit a little sorry for that person, and yet, on our part, we must not allow ourselves to become overly dazed, overly upset when people turn away from God. We must press on to share the gospel, to be clearer in our heart, in our understanding of what evangelism is all about. Not everyone we speak to will come to the Lord. But we must not fail to do our part properly. Think about this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to share our faith meaningfully, effectively. We pray that you will teach us how we can do this well. At the same time as we share the gospel, help us to bear in mind that is the work of the Father, your work, the work of the Spirit, the work even of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us just to be faithful and to desire that we might always speak of the Lord Jesus because of our faith in him, because of our love for him and for souls. Help us to remain faithful. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.